May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 480. Up to the fields where angels lie, and living waters gently roll, fain would my thoughts leap out and fly, but sin hangs heavy on my soul. Hymn 480.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read Psalm 22. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word. May he grant us prayer. Dear Lord, do remember us now with thy favour, and visit us with thy salvation. Enable us to worship thee. Come, Lord, we pray, and dwell in our hearts by faith. Lord, come and deliver us from all that opposeth thee within and without. O Lord, come and bless us. Bless us indeed. Enlarge our coast. May thy hand be with us, and do thou keep us from evil, even while we're in thy house, that it may not grieve us. Keep us from ourselves. Lord, do raise us above ourselves, above each other, that we may see no man save Jesus only. Lord, that we might worship God in his Son, for there is love and there alone. O blessed Spirit of truth, do reveal to us the Son. For this is the will of the Father, that whosoever seeth the Son and believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, we are perishing sinners. How swiftly our lives are passing. We are reminded on these annual occasions. Time, what an empty vapour it is, and days, how swift they are. Swift as an Indian arrow flies, or like a shooting star. O Lord, we would have a thankful heart, do grant it to us, for all thy mercies to us in the year that is past. Thy watchful care over us and provision for us. Truly, O Lord, it is of thy mercy we are not consumed. Thy compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, forgive all our sins. Lord, do blot out all our past offences. Help those, Lord, who've come in this afternoon, in some measure feeling what the hymn writer said, and past offences pain my eyes. Those who, as we've sung just now, sin lies heavy on the soul. Oh, we do pray for them. Oh, blessed Spirit of truth, do preach Christ into their hearts, that the blotting out of all their past offences, the deliverance of them from that heavy burden of sin. O Lord, that Thou wouldst lift up the downcast, raise up the beggar from the dunghill to set him among princes. O Lord, Thou dost grant that exalting to everyone whom Thou dost humble. O then we pray, fulfill Thy word even on us assembled here. Lord, if any of us be unhumbled, Lord, we plead for that grace. We pray, Lord, that Thou even this day which grant that the work of regeneration to any of Thine who are dead in trespasses and sins, that work of conviction to those who are hardened in sin and careless, indifferent, unmindful of their transgressions. O Lord, convince us of our sin. Effectually, make us feel it, Lord. Ah, to confess it with the lip is easy, but oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Lord, we pray, oh, do help sensible sinners to flee to Thee, to come to Thee just as they are. Oh, Lord, we pray for that liberty. The liberty of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that Christ being proclaimed to poor sinners, there might be that constraining, that enabling to flee to Him, to find in Him all their salvation and all their desire. To this end, Lord, do pour in to a poor sinful instrument, O Lord, who is sufficient for these things. We are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. O, may our sufficiency be of God, in speaking and in hearing. Lord, we pray, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with our spirit. O Lord, that we might lose ourselves in Jesus Christ. Lord, oh, we do pray that all the pride and self-righteousness and lust and worldliness and carnality and unbelief and enmity and everything that is of self might be overcome, Lord. Oh, may we know that rising up in our experience of the horn of salvation and to overcome all our enemies. Oh, may we be found like that favoured man was. His enemies could not be overcome by any other Lord but Thee, but Thou didst overcome them so that he was found sitting at Thy feet, clothed and in his right mind. Oh, may we be found there, Lord, looking upon Thee by living faith, looking up to Thee, mourning over Thee, in bitterness as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Oh, Lord, do grant that look. A look of the Lord is all that we want. That look that sets us adoring His person most sweet and lays us abhorring ourself at His feet. Lord, we plead for it. We're such poor things, such needy things, such helpless things. But Lord, Thou art the friend of such. All be ours this day. Lord, Thou the helper of such, Thou hast said, Almighty God, Thou hast laid help upon one that is mighty. O Lord, grant that help for us today. O Lord, that, by Thy indwelling, Lord Jesus, we may be blessedly delivered. Lord, by thy indwelling, oh, we might know thy great salvation. By thy indwelling, Lord, we might be favoured to see and taste and feel that the Lord is gracious. Lord, we seek for this people here thy rich blessing. Lord, do bless this church. Grant them, Lord, the communion of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to their souls, that they may live. Lord, thou hast said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst feed then this people. Lord, favour them. The portion that was promised Mephibosheth, he shall eat bread at my table continually. Or then we ask that in the assemblies here, Lord, there might be those times of feeding, food convenient for them. Do grant then this people a living ministry. Oh, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, by whomsoever thou wilt send as an instrument, those whom thou hast sent forth in thy great and holy name. If it is thy will, Lord, fulfill thy promise to thy church here and in other places. I will give you pastors after mine own heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and with understanding. O Lord, do we pray, raise up and send forth real labourers into thy harvest, which is great. Help those, Lord, whom thou hast sent. Help those who labour this day. O Lord, we pray that the gatherings of the people may be unto thee, and that thy servants might be helped to take forth the precious from the vile, to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, do guide and help the deacons in their office. Oh, do bless their labours in thy name. Lord, do grant, we pray, signs following the preaching of thy word here. Lord, do grant real conversion work, conviction work, pardoning work. Lord, do grant, oh, we pray, that strengthening, establishing, settling work of thy blessed Spirit. Oh, may this place be a city set on an hill that cannot be hid. Oh, do shine, Lord, upon sinners. There might be a reflection from them of thyself. Lord, do help and bless the families. Oh, have mercy on our children and young people. Oh, may it be of one and another even this day that are found in thy house, I being in the way, the Lord met me. Led me to the house of my master's brethren. O Lord, thou knowest where there are seekers among them. Grant the fulfilment of thy promise, they shall find. Lord, do direct and provide. Do save. Lord, and do form a people from among them. Each one of them, if it would please thee, for thy praise. We commend to thee afflicted ones, according to thy will, do heal. Where thou hast heard prayer in this respect, we would praise thee. Lord, do grant that help to do so, from the heart. Make us feel truly thankful. And do continue thy healing, strengthening mercy, we pray. Lord, and may there be that was also done in Hezekiah's case, the writing of Hezekiah, after he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. The testimonies of thy blessed spiritual healing too. Lord, do help our aged friends. Lord, oh, we pray that as the marble cottage shakes, the grasshopper becomes a burden. They might be favoured with that strong consolation, a good spirit raw hope in Christ Jesus. Lord, they may feelingly, personally enter into what the apostle said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Lord, and do grant that this might be the chief concern and pursuit of the souls of each one of us. For the old must die and the young may. Oh, prepare us, Lord. Let us not come to our end as foolish virgins, having lamps but no oil. Oh, we do pray. Grant us grace. Grant us, Lord, that light, Christ in us, that will never be extinguished. We plead once more for Britain. Do in wrath remember mercy. Oh, we pray yet for thy sparing mercy. We plead yet that thou hast not removed the candlestick of truth from these islands. We plead, Lord, that thou hast overruled the affairs of state, parliament and councils, and in all places of authority, for the real good of the nation and especially of thine elect. If it would please thee, do prevent the apostate leader of the apostate church of Rome from coming and setting foot on these shores. Oh, if it is thy will, he must come. May, oh, do in mercy grant that it may all come to nothing. Lord, do we plead, grant the work of thy Holy Spirit to lead many sinners to repentance and to approach in living faith that one great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, grant to us each that blessing. Oh, that we might be enabled to say by thy assurance, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, it's a time of need now. Oh, do supply our need. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 984. Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds, Christ and free grace therein abounds. Free grace to such as sinners be, And if free grace, why not for me? Hymn 984.
Thank you.
asking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you to Psalm 22, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 22, verses 23 and 24. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. O ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, O ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. These are the words of the victorious Son of God, his words to his people, after he had obtained that great victory. And it is this that he speaks of in this 24th verse. He refers to his Father. He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. And it is because of the truths that are set forth in that verse. It is only because of that truth that those that fear the Lord can praise him. Only upon that ground that the seed of Jacob can glorify him. And all fear of God, fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. It is only because of what was accomplished in that tremendous day. The afflicted is Christ himself. In all his people's afflictions, he was afflicted. It pleased the Lord his Father to bruise him. Oh, what an affliction that was. None like it. For upon him came all the punishment due to all the sin of the whole church of God. Behold and see, he says, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Is there any sorrow like unto his? The hymn writer said his way was much rougher, much darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? The Lord in the day of his anger did lay their sins on the Lamb. Oh, to be able to say our sins on the Lamb. And he bore them away. The affliction of the afflicted. Oh, he endured that that was needful for the law to be completely satisfied. What is the demand of the law? The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it should die. The Saviour went to the end of the law. He went to the end of the law. The end of the law is death. He went to the end of the law in his spotless, holy, perfect obedience. And then he went to the end of the law in suffering the whole of what justice demanded. You see, he alone could go to the end of the law. The Son of God, made under the law, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. For that death he died, which was unlike any other death. This commandment he received of his Father, which was to lay down his life. He said, I lay it down of myself. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. That was going to the end of the law. Oh, his death. It destroyed death. His death, it made an end of sin. His death, the end that it made to sin, is clearly manifest by his resurrection from the dead. But what an affliction that was. He was afflicted from the moment of his birth to the moment of his death. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The affliction, tempted yet without sin. The affliction, he came unto his own and his own received him not. The affliction, in his people's room, place and stead. The affliction being hated of all men. The affliction, the Son of Man, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Now this psalm records sacredly the language of the Son of God in his afflictions. Particularly the culmination of those afflictions on the cross at Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? What an affliction to be feelingly forsaken by his Father. But he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. No. His Father did not think little of this affliction of his Son. That is what it is to despise something, to think little of it. But the Father did not think little of this affliction of his Son. No. Oh, the merit, the worth. His Father, why this affliction of his Son? Oh, how he saw its necessity and how in his reception of his Son into heaven, as the Psalm 24, one of the following ones records, who is this? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The fruit of that affliction which he suffered, he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Oh no, there was no abhorrence by the Father of his dear Son. No. 'Twas not in any abhorrence. 'Twas in love to his people that he smote his dear Son. And my dear friend, in love to his people, oh, he hath not despised nor abhorred thy affliction. Now the psalm speaks of the prayers of the Son of God in that affliction. And how he endured the trial, the sore affliction of not receiving for a time a manifest answer to his prayers. Why not? He himself says, why not? He says that our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man. So he puts himself beneath his own people. Our fathers trusted in thee. But I am a worm and no man. Why? Though he was sinless, though he was the Son of God, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, yet in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And indeed, with regard to that which he was suffering, he did come lower. He did go lower than all others. He went to that place none of the fathers could go to. He went to the end of the law. He was that one appointed by his Father, the surety, the blessed divine substitute. Abraham saw my day, he said he saw it and was glad. A ram caught in the thicket, slain and offered in the place of his dear son. But I am a worm and no man. A reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. Why is this? Why is this affliction upon him? Why must he be laughed to scorn? Oh, because in the eyes of divine justice, there he is made sin. All the demerit of his people, every single transgression in commission and omission, it is caused to meet there in him. How awful it will be for anyone who is not found in this blessed person Christ when they come to appear before the bar of divine justice. What shame shall cover them? And how awful for a never-ending eternity after that sentence is pronounced, depart ye cursed into everlasting burning, prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, to save sinners from such an awful end, of which there is no end, the Son of God must suffer that. All the disgrace, he bears it. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb, thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. He speaks then of his incarnation. As much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, he should destroy him that had the power of death and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Only in that way. Only in that way. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. All his disciples forsook him and fled. This hour is too sad. It is just beyond any ordinary man to bear this. And in the mercy of God, why? He did not require his people to bear this, for he required his son to bear it. Trouble is near. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bowls of passion have beset me round. Oh, divine justice with all its bruising demands. Oh, the wrath of God with regard to the sins of his church, it is poured upon him in one unremitting storm. My strength is dried out like a potsherd, as dry as the sherd of a pot. Strength dried up. The hymn writer said, strength enough and none to spare. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thus brought me into the dust of death. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Pilate, Herod, that crowd, crucify him, crucify him, away with him, away with him. But oh, it wasn't just that assembly of the wicked that had enclosed him. It's the assembly of all his people. For they are with him. The hymn writer said, one in the tomb, one when he rose, one when he triumphed o'er his foes. In union with the Lamb. Oh, what that meant for the Lamb. When he went to the cross, the assembly of the wicked enclosing him. Why, the sins of his beloved church, who were wicked by nature, enclosing him. Since he and they are bound together by an everlasting indissoluble tie, it were an easy path for him, the cross, to flee, but love to sinners moves his heart and makes him choose to die. Dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the bow of the dog. Oh, may the blessed Spirit lead us in some measure to behold this by faith. May we be led by the Spirit in some measure into these things. Why do I say this? Because it is only the Spirit that can lead us into these things. How we prove that we can read the truth concerning what the Saviour suffered and our heart remain unmoved. But if the Spirit lead us to Gethsemane and to Calvary, what will be the effect? Sin will become exceeding sinful. The Saviour be made to us exceeding precious. Oh, to see our sins put away through those in those streams of blood that once ran from his hands and feet and side. Oh, to see, to taste that love. What is love, asks the hymn writer, nor deserves the endearing name, but the love of God the Saviour, whose dear heart's a constant flame. But he did prevail. And as I said at the beginning, I believe, these are his words to his people after he had prevailed. And the Saviour, he sets forth the only ground on which a poor sinner can rejoice. His finished work. And he bids his people rejoice in that. And when the Saviour bids a poor sinner rejoice in his finished work, they shall rejoice. Because the Lord's biddings are enablings. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. His Father then, looking propitiously upon his dear Son, looking with such delight upon his dear Son, looking with such satisfaction upon his dear Son, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. No. Oh, his love to his people, his delight in his dear Son. Oh, that perfect will of the Father concerning all that the Son of God endured. How could the Father despise the affliction of his dear Son? He could not. On what ground? Why? Firstly, his love to that people whose afflictions the Son of God was enduring. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, said Paul, Christ died for us. He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Nor did he abhor that affliction. No, how could he abhor that affliction? It was a perfect affliction. That is, it was on no account whatever because of any sin in the one that is afflicted. Oh, what grace then shines in him being afflicted for his people. What love shines in him. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But then look how the afflicted one endures his affliction. There's no sin, there's no personal sin in his affliction. This is the Holy One. This is the pure, harmless, holy, undefiled Son of God, separate from sinners in this respect, holiness. There's not a murmur. There's not the least rebellion against his Father's will. No. Oh, there's nothing then that the Father could despise or abhor in this affliction. No. The perfection then of the sufferings and the love that the Father hath to his Son and to his people. He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. It pleased him to bruise him. Why, in these afflictions that his Son endured, the Father is well pleased. Every moment that passes in those afflictions, there is a passing of the cup that the Father gave his Son to drink. That cup of which he said, if this cup may not pass away except I drink it, thy will be done. Oh, those steps to the victory. He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. Neither hath he hid his face from him. Almighty God, looking upon the face of his anointed. Almighty God, looking favourably, blessedly, acceptably upon his dear Son. This was what the church prayed for in the psalm, wasn't it? Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Neither hath he hid his face from him. Surely what the Saviour means here is that not forever did the Father hid his face from his dear Son. The psalm makes it clear, as does the account in the Gospels of the sufferings of Christ, that the Saviour, the dear Son of God, did endure those hours in which his Father hid his face from him. With respect to the receiving of any comfort, consolation, that blessed communion. But then, you see, the Saviour did prevail. Those prayers were answered. Why, the Father had laid help upon one that is mighty. The Father had found one exalted from among the people, one who was sufficient. Oh, and when was it? The Saviour, the dear Lord Jesus Christ, was blessed once more with this that he speaks of here. He hath not hid his face from him. Surely it was that moment after he had yielded up his spirit unto God, and he was immediately in the presence of his Father. He said to that thief, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." But what is so significant about this? That the Father hid his face from him until then. Because not until then was the work of redemption complete. Not until the Saviour had breathed out his spirit unto his Father was the work of redemption complete. But then, oh, that smile of the Father. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. He speaks here then of that upholding. For though the Saviour endured the hiding of his Father's face in respect to no consolation and comfort communion, there was surely in the Saviour's own case what the hymn writer speaks of concerning what the Lord does for his people, an unseen hand, and gives a secret prop. In Isaiah 42, the Father saith of his Son, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth." Now, if the Lord help me, I want to now return to the 23rd verse and consider it in the context of the 24th. "Ye that fear the Lord, praise him." These that fear the Lord. Why, what is the evidence of that fear of the Lord in their hearts and in their souls and in their lives? Why, because of that fear, they feel to be such sinners before him. Because of that fear, they are made to realize there is no way to God but through a mediator. There is that fear. There is, by that fear, the one does not rush into the Lord's presence like the unthinking horse into battle. The Saviour said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. And this poor sinner who fears the Lord, they know in his law, the law is their adversary. In his law, the Lord God Almighty is against their sin. And they are a sinner. By his fear then, all that fear which he works in their soul, by which they know they are sinners, in his sight, and by that fear they are seeking of him salvation, by that fear they are seeking a way whereby there might be a bringing together of me who am so separated by sin. That sin, such a separating thing that I cannot break down that separation. The guilt separating and the power of sin working in me separating. Men talk of a sinner believing, but this poor sinner that fears God knows that they cannot believe unless the Lord gives it. Men may talk of sinners repenting, but this one that fears the Lord knows they cannot repent unless the Lord give it. By this fear, this sinner then is not fleeing from God and trying to save themselves, but fleeing to him, pleading, Lord, save me or I perish. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Praise him that he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Why? My dear friend, there's no greater truth that I might declare this afternoon than this. That God, the Father, in eternity past, set up his Son as the great head of the church and appointed him that he should bear the sins of his people. And he did bear them. That great truth that only in the finished work of his dear Son is the Father pleased. Only in the finished work of his dear Son can the Father look satisfactorily upon any sinner. And he does concerning every one whom he has loved with an everlasting love. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Oh, this is praise. There are lesser praises, undoubtedly. Why, the least answer to prayer in a temporal thing is a cause for praise. And that only flows through this that the Saviour sets forth here. The least answer to a temporal prayer comes through the Saviour's sufferings at Calvary. But oh, my dear friend, may this be walked by the Spirit in our hearts here this afternoon, that we might, if we be not blessed this afternoon to praise him because of what this text says, it may be wrought in our heart that we may plead, that we might be led to see the Son of God by living faith, to enter into those great things, that we might praise him for that. You see, that praise, it flows through the finished work of Christ. Oh, what praise due unto the Father. Why, there was nothing but the love of God that could cause the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to make such a covenant with such a mediator, the new covenant. Why, this is beyond all natural conception, isn't it? It's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It's the love of God that knows no fathoming. That God should lay the sins of rebels upon his dear Son. praise him. Why? For what does this save the church from? An eternity of banishment from God. An eternity of ever, never-ending woe. I mentioned to the friends at home yesterday how one's thoughts went in reading in the newspaper of those poor men trapped in that mine in Chile, with the prospect that if they are eventually delivered, it will be in months rather than weeks, probably. That hot, awful, dark place. But what is that compared to hell? Not for a few months, but for a never-ending eternity. Not with a supply, as those miners have, but with nothing, not a drop of water in that awful place. Not with some, though it may be distant and uncertain, hope of deliverance as those men have, but with no hope of deliverance whatever. This that the Saviour speaks of here, the ground then of that praise, deliverance. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to make known unto man his uprightness, then he saith, deliver him from going down into the pit. Why? Why? Because he doesn't deserve to go down into the pit. Because he hasn't been so bad as others. Because he's done some good things by which God must reward him. No. No. He's not able to. I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom. God has found it. The blood of Jesus Christ shall still remain sufficient and alone. But he has found it. And that's always how it is with the Lord's people in their experience. They couldn't find it. Who by searching can find out God, and therefore who can possibly find out this greatest work of his? But the Lord leads his people in that way wherein there is a finding of it. He says, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Praise him. Praise him. Oh, for that which this work secures to the sinner. A righteousness divine, eternal, which cannot be polluted, corrupted, an everlasting righteousness. That such a one who is blessed with this is in God's sight pure, even as Christ is pure. Praise him. Oh, that this great work secures for this poor people, these that fear him. The new creation. The soul quickened through the redeeming work of Christ. And the body in the resurrection transformed and made like unto Christ's glorious body, according to the power wherein he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Praise him. Oh, that the Father required all of his dear Son. And this is the ground upon which a poor sinner praises him. You know, if it were any other any other way than this, it could not be, but speaking hypothetically, if it were any other than that the Saviour accomplished the whole, oh, where would man be? How proud of that part he had done. But we're in this, in the only way it could be accomplished. He trod the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with him. All the glory shall redound to thy free grace. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. This seed of Jacob are those for whom he died. It is a particular redemption. The seed of Jacob means not only the, and it certainly is not the whole of the natural seed of Jacob, is that spiritual seed. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now, it's only these that can glorify him, because it's only these that are given these blessed benefits of the Saviour's sufferings and death. And without those blessed saving benefits, a sinner cannot glorify God. But how does this seed of Jacob glorify him? To glorify God means to exalt him. How is God exalted by a sinner? Surely it is when by the work of the Holy Spirit in that person, they believe the record that God has given of his Son. There's nothing more glorifying of God than that. No. Oh, what fools we are in our unbelief and by the deceit and temptations of the devil and many false guides. We think the way to glorify God is to try and obey him in our own strength, to try and serve him in the oldness of the letter, under the law. But no. Oh, sinner, if that was possible, it wouldn't glorify God, would it? It would glorify you. But this that glorifies God, he's a sinner, trusting wholly in the merits, the righteousness, the blood, the intercession of Jesus Christ, God's dear Son. Glorify him. Why and what is that? What does that actually mean when I say trusting in the merits of Jesus Christ, and so on? Why, daily, as often as the need is felt, as often as the need of salvation is felt, to flee to him and ask of him mercy in the name of his dear Son. To ask of him that pardon that flows from Calvary. To seek of him that grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. To come to him, oh, look at the characters that Christ delighted in when he was here on earth. Those we are sure are the characters that the Father delights in and is glorified by. The ones that the self-righteous Pharisees cut off. Those sensible sinners, made sensible by the blessed work of the Holy Spirit in conviction, they heard of Jesus and fled to him. They heard of Jesus and came to his feet. They heard of him, Jesus, thou Son of David, they prayed, have mercy on us. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. This is the name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleading he approves and blesses them indeed. But, oh, may the Lord lead us just for a moment before we come to a close into this, glorifying him with respect to what follows in that 24th verse. Oh, what glory to the Father when a poor sinner is enabled to come and plead how the Father has been delighted with his dear Son. So that one is not coming asking the Father to look upon them because of their prayers, because of their confessions, because of their anything. And the way the Lord leads his people in this is to make them to realize God can't look upon them because of anything of that. In your prayers to plead the prayers and the answer that the Lord gave, the prayers of Christ, that's glorifying him. Oh, this is the ground on which he answers the prayers of his people. They're indicted by the Holy Spirit. They're truly in the name of his dear Son. Oh, stripped of all your fancied meekness to approach the dread I am and to plead with the Father. Lord, thou didst require and receive of thy dear Son everything that was needful for the salvation of wretches. Oh, do grant that to me. Grant to me those benefits that thou canst give only because of what thy dear Son accomplished. Glorify him. And then there is a glorifying of him when in receiving from him that pardon, that deliverance, there's a testifying of him. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. With pleasure we behold Emmanuel's offspring come. Sheep are left no more to roam. All the sufferings of Christ to gather wandering, roaming sheep to God. The sufferings of Christ, that hard-hearted wretches might be broken. The sufferings of Christ, that sinners who had run the score to lengths extreme, who had committed adultery, murder, theft, fornication, unbelieving, hard-hearted rebels, enmity and enmity to God, broken, made nigh, changed. Ye who sometimes were far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. Glorify him. You see, it's a spontaneous thing. Christ said, when that crowd so sang Hosanna when he went into Jerusalem on that ass's colt, and the Pharisees wanted them to keep quiet, he said, if these should hold their peace, the very stones should cry out. It's a flowing matter. When the Lord causes his love and his grace to flow into a poor sinner's heart, there's a flowing out. Out of his belly, said the Lord, of this person that receives this blessing, out of his belly, that is out of his heart, shall flow rivers of living water. That's how a sinner glorifies God. Yes. Oh, the effect of the death of Christ. The slaying of sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The affection set upon him, the world at a sinner's feet, because it was at the feet of the Saviour. That's how to get the world at your feet, sinner, not in your heart's affections. That's how to get the world as dung and dross to you. Oh, to have Christ come into your heart and make the world dung and dross to you. Squeezing the world out by himself coming in. Glorify him. Glorify him. And fear him, O ye the seed of Israel. And fear him. So the Lord speaks to his people in different conditions. Why? And it's all upon this one ground. He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Oh, that one that hears of this for the first time. That one that hears of God's way of salvation. Perhaps they've never before given a thought of God, to God. They've never therefore before feared him. The Saviour sets forth it's on this ground that they are to fear God. Oh, that fear. That sinner then that begins to fear God when they hear about this. What will their feelings be in that fear? Oh, how God hates sin. Because what he did to his people, to his son, for his people's sin. Oh, how abhorrent sin must be to Almighty God, if nothing less than the sore, deep afflictions of his son could put it away. Oh, how awful then this sinner will feel it to be without this God, without this Christ. That's the fear the Lord calls you to, you that before have not feared him. But then, the completeness of the work. That salvation comes alone through this channel, through Christ Jesus. This fear then, look not to get deliverance from your woe from any other quarter. Think not to conquer your sin yourself. Think not to put away your sin by any amendment in your life. Think not to put away your sin by shedding tears. Think not to put away your sin by spending the rest of your life doing good works. And think not to put anything that God shows you is wrong about you. Think not to put it right yourself. But to come and ask God to put it right by giving you the righteousness of his dear son. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, that one that fears him because of this verse 24. Lord, lead me by living faith to thy dear son. As dear Suki Harley was taught of the Spirit to pray, Lord, grant me the saving knowledge of thy dear son. In what that saving knowledge means. What it does in this poor sinner's heart. What it does in that sinner's life. My dear friend, this is the point we must examine with regard to whether we know there's interest in this. Oh, if the Lord show us his dear son and grant us thereby that saving knowledge of him. Sin shall not have dominion over us. For therein we are not under the law, but under grace. Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund, and tea will be served on the right hand side of the chapel shortly after the close of this service. Let us close with hymn 832. The men that fear the Lord in every state are blessed. The Lord will grant whatever they want. Their souls shall dwell at rest. Hymn 832.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we do thank thee for thy word. Do cause it to remain with us. Do forgive that which has been amiss in thy pure and holy sight. For, Lord, we cannot say as the Son of God did, the Prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Lord, forgive. Keep us safe in the interval. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.